Lori, we made it to another week of the Travel Vertical podcast. You know, it's funny, we were talking about this right before we started recording. This is month 11, almost exactly. I think we launched on April 21st of last year, and this will release on the 23rd of March this year. So we're 11 months in, Lori. It's been a lot of fun.
Yeah, 11 months into the Travel Vertical podcast, and 24 months into COVID, right?
That's right. That's right. Hopefully we can continue distancing ourselves from COVID over time.
Yep, social distancing.
That's right.
Yeah, everyone's feeling, you know, pretty good, except for the price of gas. But, you know, hey-ho. And, you know, then there's Ukraine. So things just keep happening.
They do. And, you know, we traded one crisis for another. And, you know, feel for everybody over in Ukraine and the situation that they're dealing with. And, of course, the reverberations are being felt around the world with a variety of things, including the gas prices here. And yeah, it's one crisis for another.
Indeed. Well, I don't know about you, Adam, but I'm here in San Francisco, and the gas stations have numbers that start with 6.
Oh,
they don't start with 4.
And we're still in the 4s.
Right. They start with 6 now.
Wow. Wow. So you're just walking everywhere, Lori.
Yeah, you could. You could. But yeah, that's where that's at. So we want to talk about jobs, and we want to talk about more people and jobs and more.
And then we got a great guest that we're excited to talk to in the second half of the show.
Yep, absolutely. We're going to be talking with Michelle Thena from the state of Washington.
Awesome. Well, Lori, what are you seeing out there with jobs right now? I know we talked about several destinations, but you've seen some new jobs pop up.
That's right. Just, you know, in the week between the last issue of the Travel Vertical and the one that I'm preparing for this week, there's been an important announcement out of Chicago that the search has been concluded, and the mayor announced the other day, Lynn Osmond, as the new CEO, the president and CEO of Choose Chicago. And she's the first woman in that role.
Oh, how cool. Well, congratulations to her. That's great.
And so the female mayor appointed the female CEO, and she replaces David Whitaker, of course, who resigned last year and went to Greater Miami Convention and Visitors Bureau as the president and CEO.
Okay, so another job filled and filled with the first female CEO in Choose Chicago. That's exciting.
Yes, she's a local who comes from a role as president and CEO at the Chicago Architecture Center, where she held that position, and she was there for 25 years.
Wow, very cool. Okay, what else are we seeing out there, Lori? I know that you even want to talk about a new feature that LinkedIn has. Do you want to start there?
Oh, yeah. Well, this was kind of interesting. I noticed that, you know, have you, anyone who's used their LinkedIn profile? I mean, it's a great tool, LinkedIn. I love LinkedIn, but it's kind of, it doesn't let you do a lot of sort of creative things with your CV, with your resume.
Right.
And so the new tool is, well, you can put in career breaks in your experience profile section.
So you can put in career breaks. What do you mean by that?
Yes. What I mean by that is, you know, every time you put down a job in LinkedIn, it asks you for the dates, like as if you can remember. But, you know, you can always make up dates. But, you know, there's not room to show, well, bereavement or a career transition or full-time parenting, or I got laid off because of COVID, or, you know, my mom was ill, or I relocated, or, you know, I thought I was going to retire and then I didn't retire, or, you know, I went to school for professional development. So there was no way to reflect some of those positive things. It just looked like, well, a negative, you know, what happened? Why did that person have a gap between those jobs?
Oh, that's okay. Now it's making sense to me. So let's say theoretically that I retired, you know, wanted to just spend more time with the family. I don't want to compare myself to Tom Brady, but, you know, Tom Brady kind of did the same thing. And then he said, you know what, I want to come back. So let's say I said, you know, I see these openings at Brand USA. I'd like to market on the national level. I could put the short break for retirement in LinkedIn then.
Well, I think it's a really positive thing. And, you know, if a person decided to take a year out and, you know, climb Mount Everest, I mean, that's developmental in so many professional ways, isn't it? And personal as well. So there ought to be a way to reflect such things rather than just job, 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 job. And I'm sure that COVID, you know, has prompted LinkedIn to take a new look at that. And I'm happy about it.
Oh, that's really cool. I like that feature. So I mentioned, you know, Brand USA. There's a lot of openings there if you want to market on the national level, right?
Yeah, I was thinking about that this morning, you know, that we've talked before about how many roles have gone remote or hybrid, or, you know, this might be a good time to think about living in a different part of the country, and people are doing that. So more flexibility is being introduced into destination marketing in ways that it perhaps wasn't before. But there could also be the individual who says, wow, I aspire to do this on a national level. And so, yes, indeed, there are jobs at Brand USA and there are jobs at the U.S. Travel Association as well.
10 jobs at Brand USA and 4 at U.S. Travel, right?
That's right.
I mean, that's a lot of opportunity. And like you said, this new remote environment makes those jobs much more achievable than they would have been a couple of years ago.
Yeah. So, you know, people can think about applying their skills on a regional basis. And that's interesting. And many of the skills, you know, for example, at Brand USA, are skills that are easily developed by many of our listeners on the level that they may be now doing such things. For example, a manager of integrated marketing, or say a senior director of digital analytics, and things like that. So a lot of these skills, yes, are quite transferable to the national level.
Great. Okay. Well, what else, Lori? I know we've got some Florida news out there.
We do. Florida was successful in renewing their funding. And so that's good news coming out of Visit Florida. And we've also seen some major funding happening this last week for Brand USA to achieve an extension for marketing to the international visitor, that to the tune of $250 million.
Oh, wow. Okay. So just a little bit there for them. $250 million. That's great.
Yeah. And then today, you know, we're going to be talking to Michelle from the state of Washington Tourism. And they've got, there's a couple of things going on up in Washington. There still is a search for president and CEO of Visit Seattle, which is an important role in the Pacific Northwest. And I believe there's still an opening for a director, executive director at the Port of Seattle, where some positive news has come out this week that cruising is going to begin in a big way, and they're going to be having more cruise lines in and out of there than ever in the past.
Yeah, that's going to be a big, big influx for a state that's been, you know, relatively shut down over the course of the pandemic. And so what a positive change for that destination.
Yeah, I think it's been hard for them between, you know, the Canadian border and cruises up to Alaska that were canceled. It's been tough.
Right. Well, I know that there's a few more things that we want to get to before we bring our guest in. And that's, you know, some of your just published section where I think you got some airport data in there. What are you seeing, Lori?
Yeah, we did. We published a fun piece on recovery. You know, we looked at the Green River for St. Patrick's Day in Chicago, and then we kept going, found the busiest airline routes in the USA, the top 10 between blank and blank. So we published those air corridors. Where do you think the busiest one is of all?
Gosh, Atlanta?
To where?
Okay, so am I half right? Atlanta to New York?
Actually, Atlanta figures in the number three position.
Ooh, close.
The number four position, but those would be to Orlando and Fort Lauderdale.
So Orlando and Fort Lauderdale from?
In and out of Atlanta are three and four. Yeah. The busiest is JFK to LAX.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense, actually.
Sure. And then Chicago, New York. So that's in there. And then the busiest airports, we have that. And then we've got gas prices by state. California's lit up in purple. This is a week old. It's gone up already. But, you know, gas could be $2 more expensive in California than in Kansas, which is the cheapest place to buy gas. So anyway, it's a roundup of recovery bits and pieces for all the nerds out there.
Okay, so everybody's filling up their gas cans and driving to Kansas right now, huh?
They might do, except that we've also published, you like this, the annual visitation statistics from the National Park Service. Uh-huh. So we know where the 25 most busy parks were last year. And in fact, they account for 50% of all visits.
Oh, wow. Okay, give me a little, maybe give me a couple that are in the top five. Let's not unveil all of them.
All right. Well, there are 423 national parks in all. And the top one has been the top one for a long time, and it hasn't changed. And it's the longest linear park. That's a hint.
Boy, I'm drawing a blank here, Lori.
The longest linear park is Blue Ridge Parkway. And, you know, it goes for 400 plus miles through a couple of states, including North Carolina and the Smoky Mountains. And the Great Smoky Mountains National Park is number two. So between the two of them, they have more than 30 million visitors a year.
Wow. Wow. Okay. That's a good preview. If you want to see the entire list, you're going to have to go to thetravelvertical.com.
Yep. We've got it all there because we just love these statistics.
Yeah. Great stuff, Lori. Well, it's time to bring in our guest. Do you want to go ahead and introduce who's coming on today?
Oh, I'm happy to say who's jumping on here with us today, Adam. We've got Michelle Thena, who is Director of Marketing for State of Washington Tourism.
Michelle, we're so excited to have you. Thanks for coming on.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me.
Michelle, we're really interested in speaking with you today because we love when our guests have just gone through a rebranding exercise. And that's exactly what happened. I was so interested about that in the state of Washington because if I'm not mistaken, you guys had just gotten started when, you know, pandemic hit. And so the timing must have made this an extremely interesting exercise. But, you know, we'd like to talk a little bit more about that and how you went into it and how you got through it and how you've come out the other end.
Yeah, definitely. So definitely some challenges with the timing and with the pandemic. As you mentioned, Washington Tourism Alliance, which was the former name of our organization, had just not really had much funding for so many years and finally was able to achieve some funding in 2018. And just sort of through that process and through unlocking those funds, determined that it was time to rebrand the organization and kind of bring the outward facing marketing into the modern era from 2010, 2011. So they had initiated that process, done an RFP, hired an agency, and I came on sort of in the middle of that rebrand. So I joined the organization in May of 2021. But I think what the pandemic did was kind of create some challenges with the timing and slowed down the brand a little bit. But at the same time, it did give us an opportunity to be really thorough with how we were asking for input from around the state on the brand. And just making sure that we were connecting with stakeholders through all 11 regions of the state and really kind of understanding what was important to those different stakeholders in those different parts of the state and making sure that we were developing a brand that was inclusive of the entire state. So some challenges, but I also think it allowed us to really be thorough with the vetting of the brand.
Awesome. Awesome. So Michelle, one of the things that I've seen a lot of destinations rebrand. But usually what happens is you'll get the new marketing person will come in, do the planning, and then execute the rebrand. Rarely do I see the marketing director come in kind of midstream on that. So tell me a little bit about the challenges that came along with that for you being brand new in your role and partway through a rebrand and how you were able to get your arms around it so quickly so that you could have a successful launch.
Yeah, luckily for me, I already was working in marketing in the state of Washington. I worked for then Visit Vancouver USA. And so I was a little bit familiar with the brand. And I also, I've been in the Northwest for my entire career. So I worked at Travel Portland previously and worked on part of that rebrand. So I was lucky to have some experience both with the area and with rebranding. But also, I think that our team did a really good job of catching me up to where we were in the process so that I could really understand where things were coming from and how we had gotten to where we were, and also be able to provide some input on how I thought we should shape the brand a little bit more just as we were finalizing and polishing it.
Do you think that, what was it before? Washington Tourism Alliance? Is that what it was before?
Yeah.
Yeah. Was that just Was that a little bit, for me, it was a little bit awkward in that it kind of sounded like a perhaps a private entity. Was that part of it?
Yeah, and that was actually one of the things that I was able to help shape coming on in partnership with our executive director, David Blanford, and our board of directors. The Washington Tourism Alliance was really formed after the state tourism office was defunded. And so there was really this coming together of the industry, and it was sort of the industry around the state holding something of tourism together, keeping up a website, keeping up a visitor guide. And so there was an understanding that that was maybe a little bit complicated to understand and sort of for the public. But I think there was also an investment in that this was buy-in for the industry and it wasn't a typical tourism office. So we were able to get everyone to understand the importance of aligning the organizational brand with the consumer brand, but that was definitely part of the challenge of rebranding.
Okay. So tactically then, what did your launch strategy look like?
Yeah. So we really aligned our campaign launch with our new brand launch so that we were coming out with marketing materials that people could really embrace and understand. And that's our True to Nature campaign, which kind of lives under the umbrella of the brand. We also made sure that we were reconnecting with a lot of the stakeholders that had provided input on the front end of the brand before we were launching the brand out publicly so that they had a chance to see what all of their input had created and they could feel hopefully really bought into the brand and like the brand did represent all of their different areas.
So I can see that something interesting is going on now. Now that when was it launched? It was launched a couple of months ago, right?
Yeah, that's right. So we did sort of a soft launch with the website going live in December and then our campaign launched right after the first of the year on January 4th.
Right. And so what I've been reading about this week is something interesting going on where you're doing some test workshops in the Northeast region of the state to get closer to the stakeholders and find out more about what they're thinking. Is that right?
Yeah. So what we're doing in the Northeast region of the state is one of our destination development programs. It's called the Rural Tourism Support Program, and it's really focused on helping communities throughout the state develop a vision for tourism in their communities. So that could be growing tourism or that could be helping to manage tourism in some of the areas that experience higher visitation in different times of the year. So it's really working with those communities to build their own vision and just helping provide them with a framework that then they can work against.
Oh, so starting out in the Northeast part of, it must be a very big state. People probably aren't aware how large Washington is, but starting out in the Northeast part of the state, you're going to have a series of three or four gatherings where, you know, people, they might be a tour operator, they might be a restaurant, they might be a motor coach company, they might be a hotel, are going to have a chance to let the state know on a grassroots level what it is that where their interests lie about going forward to create a vision for the next 10 years. Is that right?
Yeah, that is right. And just to give a little bit more context on that program, it's our Rural Tourism Support Program, and this is the first pilot version of that program. It's under sort of our destination development branch of the work that our organization does. And like you said, Lori, it is really about helping community stakeholders from throughout the tourism and hospitality industry build their own vision. Northeastern Washington, the Tri-County Economic Development District, was selected through a competitive grant application process. So there were a couple different entities that applied, and we're also launching our next version of that application. So we'll have a new applicant selected this spring with work to start in the fall for another version of this rural tourism development program.
What a great program, yeah, Michelle.
That's interesting.
Yeah, I'm glad you're doing so much to involve your stakeholders in the process and make sure that everybody kind of has a say and input on what happens from here. I want to go back to your rebrand just briefly. We have destinations all over the world that listen to this show, and I'm wondering, was there anything you learned in the process of going through this rebrand that you feel like would benefit others considering making the same move?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because when I came in, True to Nature was really sort of part of the brand, and I kind of pushed for that to be more of an independent campaign that we could use as consumer-facing marketing, but not something that was a permanent part of the brand. That said, I do think having some sort of built-out marketing examples really helped our stakeholders buy into the brand. I've sort of seen this in other rebranding processes where you're showing things that people that work in marketing get excited about, like different fonts and color palettes. But if you're not around marketing 24/7, that can feel much less exciting than some of the like big splashy marketing campaigns and videos. And so just having some samples of what that brand would look like in consumer marketing, I think really helped people envision what this brand was going to look like as we took it out into the world.
So don't just present the plan, but part of the execution as well, so that they can get excited and buy in.
Yeah, I think that that did really help us with this rebrand, and kind of, not that there was no back and forth on this, but kind of helped keep people out of the weeds a little bit on this font or this color or that color, and helped everyone see really what the big picture of this brand was.
Well, that's going to be interesting. There's going to be a lot of voices in the room this weekend.
There always are with rebrands, definitely. And I mean, I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing. I just think you have to kind of keep in mind where you're going and building consensus, and that not everyone will necessarily be 100% happy with every part of the brand, but that you're building something that can be representative and that can contain diverse stories.
Yes. Well, now that things seem to be coming back, knock on wood, for the moment, you guys are really digging out from a kind of a triple challenge. The way I saw it was, you know, with not just COVID, but you were, you know, probably benefiting greatly from the cruise industry that was shut down, and also having the Canadian borders shut down and no cruise ships going up to Alaska. You know, it must have been a rather challenging place that you're coming out of.
Yeah, definitely challenging for the state of Washington, especially sort of from the beginning of the pandemic and being a kind of early epicenter of the pandemic. The challenges with the border, with Canada being such an important market for us. And then, Lori, like you mentioned, the challenges with cruises. That said, we are very excited for where we are today, and we think we're positioned well to enter into that recovery, and that we are in recovery. The Port of Seattle just announced their cruise schedule for 2022, and they actually have their most ships ever, more than 2019. So that's excellent news for us. And we're also very encouraged by some of the loosening of requirements for Canadians entering and re-entering the country. So we think that there's a lot of promise there. There's still some things that we're hoping will get a little bit easier for Canadians and for Washingtonians going back and forth across the border. But we think we're really positioned well to enter into an even greater recovery in 2022.
Oh, that's great to hear. And congratulations on that opening back up and being officially in recovery. And congratulations on using the time of the pandemic to build, as opposed to just waiting for it to be over and saying, okay, we'll get moving when it's over. You come out that much farther ahead on the other end. So congratulations on your efforts there with your team on a successful rebrand.
Thank you. We're really excited. And, you know, we think we're still definitely in the beginning of this brand, and that it has a lot of life behind it still. So we're excited to see where we can take it this year and next year and in the years to come.
We shall be watching. So if people want to see the new brand and what it looks like, where should they go? Because if they pull up the old Washington Tourism Alliance, it does have a redirect. I tried that out this morning. But if you could just give us the website, that'd be great.
Yeah, our website is just stateofwatourism.com. So stateofwatourism.com. And that website has all of our new brand, and it also links to our industry website, which is industry.stateofwatourism.com.
Okay, so no need to write Washington out fully. I know, you know, you've had a tough job, Michelle, because, you know, you came from Visit Vancouver USA, and I know I interviewed you in the Travel Vertical about how that feels to be the other Vancouver, you know, and now, you know, you're the other Washington. Let's face it, there's a Washington, D.C. So it seems like you know the underdog story very, very well indeed.
Yeah, and it's funny because I, being from the Northwest, didn't realize quite how much of a, not competition, but just confusion that there might be between Washington, D.C., nation's capital, and the state of Washington. And that was definitely intentional in the naming of our brand and choosing a little bit of a longer name, but the state of Washington, and being very formal about it, but also making it very clear who we are and where we are.
Awesome. Well, Michelle, thank you so much for joining us, spending a little bit of time educating us on the rebrand process you went through. And again, congratulations on a very successful effort.
Yeah, thank you so much for your time and for having me on. Appreciate it.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Michelle.
Yeah, have a great rest of your day.
All right. Thanks, Michelle. And thanks, everybody, for listening. We appreciate it. If you enjoyed today's content, please make sure to leave us a rating or a review wherever you're consuming these podcasts. And we'll talk to you soon. See you, Lori.
Thank you.